This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and Jonah Siegel in here from The Athletic. It's Maple Leaf game night tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. New Jersey in town. Jack Hughes making his debut in Toronto.
Zero buzz.
Like, when was the last time you had a first overall pick with nothing? Like, Zion Williamson had more buzz. He didn't play when he was here. Like, it was more of a buzz that he's just going to be in town and, hey, maybe you can spot him in Yorkville. And we knew he wasn't playing. Jack Hughes went first overall. He played in the GTHL. Nothing.
Well,
no one is talking about him being here.
Let me pose a question for you. Before this little bump in the road here, the Leafs had picked up points in, what, 10 straight?
Yeah.
Had they picked up points in 12 out of 13, would we be looking at something else?
I think he's right.
Like, if everything was rolling along smoothly.
You Morgan think we'd Riley, be talking about it?
We would at least be talking about the opponent.
I don't know. Not talking, in this case.
No, like nothing?
Maybe Thursday with Calgary? Because
well, Calgary
good.
Yeah. I mean, Calgary moves the needle. Matthew Tkachuk recently. Like, you know, they're a Canadian team. There's just so many things that go with it. But if the Leafs are rolling along, yeah, the Morgan Riley injury certainly is front and center. But not once in the last 48 hours have we talked about, like, their opponent. Like, it's just a given that they should beat the team. And this is a team with P.K. Subban on it, who is a guy that moves the needle as far as news cycle.
Yeah.
A first overall pick. They just fired their general manager the other day out
after
of nowhere.
After firing their coach.
After firing their coach.
After trading their superstar player.
Like, this
but,
is a team.
But what's interesting about them right now?
Well.
Nothing.
Okay.
There's nothing interesting.
But that is kind of crazy interesting, don't you think, of how much is going on around that? And we've brought it up not once.
No, you're right. I mean,
like, it's actually, if it was slow news day, you just mentioned five things that we could be talking about with that organization.
Like franchise changing things.
Nah, nothing. He just goes nothing.
Really isn't. I mean, the thing is with GM talk, I always struggle with GM talk.
I get that.
Because I really don't think the average fan knows who the GM is in a different market. They know who the GM is in your hometown and who runs the Raptors and Maple Leafs and Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah, you get focused.
Expecting people that are driving around Toronto to know who Ray Shiro is in New Jersey, it's inside baseball. It's an interesting story for me. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but it's also a team that isn't overly relevant up here. Like, they're just not. New Jersey has won three cups. They've been around for a long time. They have no mark on Toronto. Or I would assume any Canadian market. But Jack Hughes, you would expect it to be an outlier. Like, even if you are on that bad team, if the first overall pick is here, you would expect someone at some point to be like, maybe we should do something on that.
Do you think we're spoiled?
I haven't heard. I don't even know if he spoke today.
Do you think maybe we're spoiled with number one overall picks? When you had, like, Matthews, McDavid, McKinnon. And, like, the last three, it's kind of like, eh.
Well,
like, you're not going to the rink to watch maybe you will soon. Rasmus Dahlin?
Yeah, but you're eventually,
like, this guy's going to be a good player.
Dahlin, there was a buzz.
There's a buzz.
When he came up here, it was like, all right, I want to see who this guy. I heard about him all year.
The players that you mentioned are closer to, they're either generational or closer to that side than on this side.
Well, we got, like, them years in a row.
Right, so you're right. It's more of a spoiled scenario where, like, hey, you got McDavid, you got Matthews. Like, these are guys that had that fanfare, and it's this market that got Matthews, and it's another Canadian market that got it.
Yeah.
To his point, New Jersey, on the best of days, doesn't move the sexy needle for anything. Had Taylor Hall still there, if he was still there, and there were rumors of him going to Montreal or something like that, I think there would still be.
That would make a mark.
I think there's a mark.
People would go talk to him this morning.
I think there would have been a mark. But you're right. Like, all of the stuff that has come up, now you're just looking at the team going, you're right. Like, there's Heischer and there's Hughes, and they've got a chance to get another one. They got a chance to get Lafreniere or Byfield or whoever it's
going to
be.
They're going to be a bottom five team.
Right. So they've got a chance. And, to your point, Tommy Fitzgerald is their interim general manager right now. Ray and I played with him. great guy, really smart hockey guy. But you're right. People wouldn't know.
No, you're not. I mean, he was a Maple Leaf, and people would know him as a player.
Right.
But
I forgot he played here.
Yeah, he was a fourth line guy. He wasn't here for a long time, but he was here.
Yeah,
he was here for a bit. And I mean, Jack Hughes is so young. He's not having a great year.
Yeah, he had the...
He's 18. It doesn't matter, but there have been other 18-year-olds that have come into the league recently, like Matthews, who I guess was 19 at that point. But Lion A had a great year.
Yeah, and David, and yeah.
Yeah, he's probably going to get to 30 points. He might have 12 or 13 goals.
Well, and Heischer got to 50 points, really, when Hall got 92. Mm-hmm. I think Heischer was the next guy at 50 points.
Yeah, it's not a story that is generating... It's not being written. It's not being told.
Right.
He would just get a first overall pick in the biggest hockey market in the world, and it's like it doesn't even matter. Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. I think Jersey's been out in Vancouver, and if you were home at that point, did Jack Hughes create a stir? I guess he would have because he would have been playing Quinn, right?
Yeah, they were. We went to the game, and but you know, Jersey doesn't create a stir really anywhere. Right, like it's kind of like, you know, even when they were winning, it wasn't like it was a must see or oh man, the Devils are here. It didn't feel the same as when the Rangers would come in, even if the Rangers weren't the team that the Devils were at the time. And so, yeah, Jack came out, and the reason everybody was all fired up was because he was playing against his brother for the first time in Vancouver, and you know, he looked 18. He looked just kind of like most young guys look. He's small. He's really agile. He's got terrific hands, but he's little. And, you know, if you're going to be at all competitive at 18, or you're going to be one of those guys that comes out and you're kind of like a man child. You're big. You know, you're heavy at that time, and he's not.
Yeah, and this is in no means... me predicting that his career won't take off or anything like that. I mean, there have been a lot of 18-year-olds, first overall picks, that, you know, Joe Thornton had a really tough first year in the league. Vinny LeCavalier didn't light it up. And those were bigger guys than Jack Hughes.
It takes time sometimes.
It takes some time. Yeah. Absolutely. And
if you watch him tonight, is he playing tonight? Is he back in?
I last time I checked, but I don't know that for sure.
That speaks to what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. There's your answer right there. Right?
Yeah. I think he looks a lot like Patrick Kane when he plays, you know, and I like to make comparables to guys that sort of look the same or the same size, and not to say he's going to go on to 1,000 points like where Kane is on the doorstep of, but he's got a lot of that where he'll come over the line, he finds like a little area to cut across the zone, and he's a really good passer, but he looks young, where... The other thing as we're talking about the brothers, but you know, Quinn stayed in school for the year after he got drafted, right? He came out, he was a full year older, and that at this age makes a huge difference.
So Sheldon Keefe was asked about the Morgan Rielly injury earlier today and the message that he wants to send to his team and how they overcome a hurdle like this. And here's what Sheldon had to say earlier today.
The elite teams in the league don't get fazed by these types of situations, and we want to be an elite team. We believe we are an elite team and have the ability to take big steps as a group, and it's a really good opportunity for us individually and collectively to do just that.
So I like that message. He kind of caught himself. We want to be, and then, no, we believe we are an elite team. But he's not wrong in that messaging, and I guess in a way it's a challenge to his group. Yeah, it's a big hit. Morgan Rielly's out for 2 months, but Sidney Crosby missed that much time, and Pittsburgh somehow didn't just survive. They won a ton of games. They're elite. What do you expect out of the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, here's the difference. So Crosby went out, and Malkin came in. Rielly goes out, and Timothy Liljegren and Rasmus Sandin, a couple of teenagers, come in. Like, that's a big difference. Like, I don't know what Pittsburgh's done. I don't know how they've done it. Like, look at their lineup. And there's always three guys in there you've never heard of. that they get them from Wilkes-Barre, they come up, and they do a job for them. You know, they make a trade with Chicago this summer. They get Dominic Cahoon, and, you know, for Olli Maatta. And really, the only name you know in the deal is Olli Maatta. I know Cahoon because I've seen him at the Worlds, you know, for a couple of years. But, man, he's had a fantastic year. Teddy Bluger, same thing. Like, man, where do these guys come from? Well, the Leafs, you can't invent new defensemen to play. Their D was already undermanned. And now, without Muzzin and Riley for, you know, Riley long-term, like, it will be, to me, it will be about survival, not excelling. If they have a winning record, a significant winning record without Muzzin and Riley, I think that would be astounding.
Well, yeah. It would make you wonder, and I guess we'll find out if they get there, okay, how did they do it? Like, the right. most obvious answer is Freddie Anderson became the best goalie in the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most obvious, conventional, the one position that can truly win you or lose you games.
Correct.
But if, let's say Freddie just plays average based on his standards, good, you know, quality goaltender, top 10 guy in the league, good goalie, what else has to happen?
They score a million goals?
Well, the guys that you mentioned, like Brian or Ray, in the last hour, Hayes said, last he checked, the four guys who are making 50% of their cap are in the lineup tonight.
They're still playing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and of course they're going to have to dominate the news if the Leafs are going to be a good team while these other guys are out. I'm in Winnipeg today, and you look at their defense, and man, outside of Josh Morrissey, you're going to probably struggle to come up with much on most of the other guys. They're journeyman players: Lucas Pisa, Dmitry Kulikov. They're lamenting that Trevor Poolman is out of the lineup for a couple of weeks, right? Like, their defense is just young guys and guys around the fringes that they're filling in, as they're trying to figure out this Byfuglien mess. Well, that means that Hellebuck, Wheeler, Scheifele, Ehlers, Connor, Laine, they have to carry the team. You can get a game here where you'll get a depth goal or a depth game that the guys do well, but you only have who you have, right? And so that means that the big boys, they can't just kind of shuffle along. They've got to find a way to tug the team along, and that's hard to do because the most you can be is on the ice for 21 or 22 or 3 minutes, right?
Yeah. Sammy Niko, does he not have the most glorious hair in the league?
Oh, Noodle. I was talking to Josh Morrissey today, and Sammy Niko sits down beside me. And I wanted to punch him. I mean, like, I comb my hair with a pork chop, right? And this kid's got hair. It's flowing down. I'm like, oh, I hate
it. Is it a mullet or all one length? I can't tell.
All one length. Oh, no, it's all one length. I was like, look at that.
So, like Fabio. It's type of Fabio hair.
Fabio had some silky mane.
Yeah, because that was a phenomenal head of hair.
I don't know if we, like, I called that Winnipeg game,
Toronto, right?
Toronto game. Nobody talked about it. This guy was wheeling around out there. You couldn't see his name bar because his hair was, and like, I wanted to bring it up, but I'm like, is that wrong? Like,
You don't really see it, right? Like, there's so many guys in the league that are on the opposite end of it.
Right.
Like, Cassian gets his helmet knocked off twice. And, like, he's got nothing cooking up there. Like, he's got Messier, and that's that, and that's fine. But the opposite, where it's such long,
like, it's
like
so
flowing
long.
Troy Polamalu type hair.
Yeah.
You're like, what is going on here in the NHL?
Now, there could be a shampoo and conditioner commercial in this kid's future. Like, Polamalu had it, right?
He did. He owned it.
And so, like, there was nobody coming to me for, hey, you should be in our shampoo commercial. That would bankrupt the company.
Yeah, well, that would be a great idea. The complete opposite of who you should have as a spokesman. That would be great.
Nobody's been talking about it, and I've been watching Winnipeg. Ray, you and I were texting. I was watching that game the other day. I'm like, this guy's hair is... It could be glorious. I couldn't figure it out if he had a mullet or not. Like, I thought.
No, it's all one shop, man. He took his helmet off. I was like, look at that.
It's glorious.
Yeah, that is something that very few guys can pull off. Like, it's a big commitment.
Well,
to grow your hair that long, that takes a long time.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, sure. You really got to be committed.
Yeah. Now, really, should the four of us be critiquing anybody's
including me. Like, I just...
Nobody. Yeah, it's a disaster. The four of us are a mess.
No, but it's such an outlier. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah.
And like, guaranteed now, maybe with a little bit of the new world, like, he's not playing for the Islanders. Like, you know that Lou says, get rid of that before you even show up at camp. Like,
Lou's the only guy in the league, I think, that would do that.
But
though,
I wonder, like, Paul Maurice, like, they're watching video of this guy playing in the minors. He's coming up. That's a, you know, Chevy's like, yeah, we're calling up Niku because there's injuries. And, oh, yeah, well, this guy, you know, we can't see his name bar.
Why do they care?
I don't think they care. I don't think, but it's just, it's so unique that it's jarring.
Well, there always used to be a fighting element to it, right? Like, I don't think he gets in fights. No one really gets in fights where, for the longest time, if you had long hair, if you get into a fight, you're in big trouble. Someone's going to grab your hair and ragdoll it.
Right, remember Matt Martin used to have the flow?
Yeah.
Before he came here, and
then Lou said that's enough. But it wasn't like this, man.
No, it was pretty good.
No. This guy's flow is on a different level.
Ray, can I ask you a hockey question now?
Sure, if you'd like to.
Hey, Jonas, all right, just relax over there.
Let's bring
it back. The Athletic podcast. We don't do serious stuff around here.
Well, I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
So, Ray, you were obviously at the World Juniors. You saw Rasmus Sandin a bunch. What do you, or I guess I'm wondering, if you're Sheldon Keefe, you watched that, you watched it yourself. How do you handle, like, how much responsibility to give him now when you're in need and he's 19? Like, how do you balance those two things?
Well, I think you give him, you know, you've got in your mind how many minutes and who you want him to play against. And then as the game goes on, you're taking his temperature a little bit. And you're like, oh, he's handling this okay. I'm going to give him a little more. And you keep giving him a little more till he runs up against a dead end where it just gets too much for him. Like, he was terrific at the tournament. I thought he was more sturdy than I thought. Now he's playing against the teenagers, right?
Yeah.
But the Leafs feel that too in the American League, that he's stronger on his feet than they thought he was going to be. Like, they're very pleased with that. He does move the puck well. He skates really well. Of course, the age-old question is going to be, what can he handle in his end? Like, when there's a cycle going on, are his feet going to be quick enough to help him defend, or is he going to get physically overmatched? And the only way you know is if you give him just a little bit more and a little bit more till eventually you go, nah, you know what, that's too much. And then you have to back him off. Because their other options, as we know, are not great.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to, I mean, this is an unbelievable opportunity for him. I can't even tell you if he's ready for it. Right? Because playing great in the World Junior tournament and then jumping into the NHL at midseason is an enormous leap.
Yeah, and tonight, I mean, he's got three games before a break. I would assume they send him back to the Marlies.
For their break. Yeah.
Probably for the break.
I would, too.
They will, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, because that also saves cap dollars, right?
Right, yep. Send him back and just, you know, get his feet wet. Then you get a bit of a break again, and you come up, and you're going to play, and you're going to have to play. Zach Cassian yesterday was suspended for two games for ragdolling Matthew Tkachuk and throwing a bunch of punches at him. And, you know, we talked about it at length yesterday, and I think you hit the nail on the head. He should have got five for fighting, and then that's it. Two-game suspension for that, to me, I don't understand it. I don't like it. But he was asked about it today, and point blank, would you do anything differently? Because when he returns after a two-game suspension, they play Calgary.
Yeah.
And here's what Zach Cassian said about that earlier today.
I'd do it again, all over again. I told him since I've been in minor midget, I've stood up for myself and my teammates. People don't do that to me or my teammates when I'm out there. To me, those are two dangerous hits. If they're clean, they're still predatorial, which is completely fine. I'm a big boy. I love big boy hockey. But if you're going to play big boy hockey, you got to answer the bell every once in a while.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I guess the suspension didn't tone down the temperature.
I know.
This is the thing. Is like, you can set the rules, which the NHL did with this suspension, and it doesn't mean that the guys have to agree to it. And it doesn't mean that, you know, like, okay, there's a road signs all over the place, tells you how fast you can go. People drive faster than that all the time. It's kind of the same thing. The rule is there. The parameters are set, and he's not less pissed off at Matthew Tkachuk today because he got suspended for two games. Like, if there's a chance for him to take a a healthy run at him, you know he's going to do it. And that's the game can never, the game can never be perfect, right? Like there's, it's never going to be sanitized enough to please everybody. It, because when you're in the middle of the game, and Noodles, I mean, you played a position that was all, it was pretty individual, but remember how heated you'd get, like in the game, like how emotionally you're, like you just go through the roof for, a, you know, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I remember that all the time. This rage would come through and then it would be, it was there and then it was gone. And then you go back to the game. And there's going to be emotional moments for in the Calgary Edmonton game, because for the first time since I can remember, the two teams are in the same, they're in the same boat fighting for the same playoff spots, and the games are super important. And there's a pretty good chance that this won't be one of those return games that comes up flat.
Yeah, I you're right.
You agree?
I agree 100%. And I said this yesterday, and Hayes brought up a good point. This was off air, but, you know, Tkachuk, he did this last year to Cassian, and Cassian took a bad penalty, took a double minor, and then Calgary won that game. So that's two games in a row, or two games in their last three or four, that Cassian and Tkachuk have been the issue, and Calgary's taken advantage of it. So I said off air to Hayes, like, Cassian shouldn't be going after, you know, Tkachuk. He goes, okay, my retribution is the next time you even look at me, I'm going after Johnny Gaudreau. Mm-hmm. And then Hayes goes, hold on a second. McDavid's going to put up his hand and go, well, that's just going to make me fair game. And all I could think of today is I was playing with Tyson Nash in St. Louis, and we had a massive rivalry with Detroit. And we had, you know, they had guns on either side. We had star players, but we had mutants that could back it up, and they had monsters on the other side too. So Tyson Nash starts something with Steve Yzerman, and Joey Kosher comes over and says, okay, well, Brett Hull gets it next. And it was almost like collectively everyone was like, okay, like, let's smarten up here before it gets stupid. I don't know where that's going to get in Calgary, because I could see Cassian taking a run at Gaudreau, and then Tkachuk goes at McDavid. Like, at some point, maybe it just has to be those two that sort it out.
Well, I think that's exactly what has to happen. I think it's in, he may not care, but I think it would go a long way if Tkachuk just said, all right, let's fight. Now, I think he'd get beat up. Like, that's a tough fight. Cassian is tough, and he's big.
Right.
But he, you know, I everyone loves him. I love him. It always comes with the,
yep,
I'd take him on my team precursor.
For sure I would.
But he has been trolling players in the league since the second he walked into the league.
Mm-hmm.
With Doughty, now with Cassian. And I think at some point, and this is what Cassian's saying. Cassian said, I'm fine with a predatorial hit. I like it. Go for it. But then I'm going to react to it and don't lay on the ice. So,
but the game is, in my opinion, has changed so far that Tkachuk doesn't feel that he needs to fight. Like the game is so far away from that, right? And so I don't know what the next steps are, because really, guys, I can't remember something with two players that has kind of spilled over like this in the recent past. I just can't remember it. And so you're right, Noodles, like, it spills into the benches because one guy takes a run at one of their better players who then takes a run at one of your better players. And pretty soon, you know, in the old days, the thing would erupt and then it would be over. I don't know how it will play out, but I can guarantee the NHL will have veteran referees there.
Yeah.
The guys that worked the Stanley Cup finals, they'll be doing that game. Both general managers and coaches will get a phone call from the league, and, you know, they'll be put on warning, whatever that is, you know, hey, we're watching, you know, kind of the warning that you get. But the game is going to be like, it's going to only take a little bit of a spark, and it will be a reminder that you can't sanitize the game when it's inside the walls, because it's hard to explain to people that if they haven't played it, if you've just watched it, but sometimes, like, I can just remember, I use the word rage. It's like, man, somebody's run me over. I think it's kind of cheap, and I'm going to find a way to get that guy back. And at my size, it was a real challenge. But I'm like, I am going to find a way to try and slash that guy's ankle so he goes down.
Especially if it's the same guy every time.
And it is. And that was my point. Like Tyson Nash was an agitator. Steve Eiserman was a superstar. And it got to the point that they're like, guys were just pointing, saying, okay, well, that guy's dead. That guy's dead. And and I remember, I want to say it was Pronger or somebody saying, Nash, you're smarten up. Because all you're going to do is they're not going to come after you. They're going to come after us. So it was either you play it within the lines or it's all hell's going to break loose. I don't know what's going to happen in that.
But in this case, who do you think has more of an obligation to talk to their guy? Is it Goudreau to say, hey, Tkachuk, stop? Or is it McDavid before Cassian does something, say, hey, don't even do it, because then I'm getting it?
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, someone,
that's my point.
If it's on a vet, which vet? Which team?
But
Calgary or Edmonton?
If the threat comes out, that's why my point is, if Cassian says to the bench, I'm not even dealing with 19 anymore, now it's 13. Now everyone starts to think twice, and they go, okay, well, we're coming after 97 and 29.
Yeah.
So it may get worse before it gets better. That was my point with it.
It could.
If that happens, could you imagine sitting there and you're Johnny Gaudreau, you're just sitting down the end of the bench, and all of a sudden your name gets brought into this, and you're like, hey.
Well, we saw that. Remember Phil Kessel, John Scott? That's it.
Yeah.
Feels like, wait, what?
Yeah. Get away from it.
I'm going to chop you twice as hard as I can in the back of the legs.
Well, is there any obligation because of who he is? Zach Cassian is not your typical, you know, 3 minutes a night goon. He scores goals. He plays. Yeah. He's a legitimate NHL player. But he does stick up for his guys all the time. I wonder if a teammate of his is going to challenge Tkachuk. Like, just for the symbolism of it.
Well, it should be Jujhar Kara or somebody
Kara
like that.
Or Darnell Nurse goes, Hershep, I'm, like, off the draw, I'm challenging you publicly.
Yeah.
Because my guy would do it for me.
Right.
And then we're just going to punk you all night. Because if you're not going to take on anybody, fine. You know, but that, I wonder if the symbolism of that might come into play as well.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of different ways this could go. At the underpinnings of this, we all should probably remember, as I've said, is like that this sport can be really emotional, and they can make whatever safety nets they want, but sometimes it just bubbles over, and this has a real potential to bubble over. Like when you, Noodles, you said something, it reminded me of this old story about the late great, and I say great because he was a fantastic teammate, Dave Semenko.
Yeah.
He was playing in junior, and there was a game that had gotten out of hand. Now, Sammy was in junior about, you know, way back in the day. He was 6'3" and 215 pounds. He terrorized the league. And he went in the other team's bench and walked behind the bench, or in front of the bench, from one door and walked out the other door, and nobody did a thing. Can you imagine that? Like, you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're like, can I have some tape for my stick, please?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Everybody's turned around,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You immediately look for the trainer. You're like, oh, I didn't even know that he walked through. I would have taken him off.
Yeah. Later after he's gone, you're like,
why didn't you make sure I was looking at you
exactly.
When you walked through the bench? Yeah, that is a ballsy maneuver.
It's so, like, and you're so gutless after he's walked out, too. Like, oh, I would have taken him down.
Try that again. Okay. And then you're like, I missed you again.
Yeah.
The other skate lace was undone. Anyway, enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, I'm popping in, so we'll have the game Thursday, so we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it.
From Toronto. Later, guys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle throughout the month of January. Visit MapleToyota.com. More fallout around Major League Baseball after the big story from yesterday. We'll get into that. We got Bob McKenzie in studio later in the afternoon. Maybe some trivia with Jonas in here. Is a nasty little rumor starting to circulate in the studio?
I made questions.
You're going to moderate?
I made them. They're already made.
For yourself?
Created. No, for you two.
You're going to pit the two of us against each
because
other.
Because that's what's happening. I'm the quiz master today.
Oh, really? Look at you.
I worked hard at it, too.
You do?
What kind of categories are we talking
about?
There's
two categories, pop culture and a little bit of sports.
All right, I like it.
You're a pop culture guy.
I am a pop culture sports. You start getting into, like, golf and that, I'll get rinsed.
All right, we'll see. Look at you. You're pretty happy.
I'm very excited about that. Yeah, very excited.
All right. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, in studio in the next hour. And we're talking about that Edmonton-Calgary stuff, and I forgot about Milan Lucic being right in the middle of everything, too, although he's got a connection to Edmonton.
He does, but, I mean, he's a very – I believe he's quite a loyal guy. Like, I don't think he would have a problem, like, even
– Oh, he's a flame now. Like,
yeah,
he's,
he would have – like, he got a suspension earlier in the year, and he actually had the Cassian comment saying, like, I'll do it again. It's my job. I'm going to double down.
Well, do you guys remember the game here, Leafs-Canucks, where it was like one thing led into another, and all I can remember from that game is afterwards, Erica Branson comes off the ice, and I think he said Matt Martin's dead or something like that. But do you remember, like, during the game, it was like, you hit this guy, we're going to hit this guy, and then we're going to hit this guy, and it just, like, devolved into, like, this mayhem?
Yeah, I don't remember that game. But like,
I remember the comment in the hall.
Yeah.
Where he's like, we're going to, and I remember the Leafs being like, what is this, peewee hockey? Like that, because it was kind of goofy, like yelling out in front of media, and it's like, okay. And Gabranson's tough and all that, but it was kind of weird for him to have that reaction publicly.
Yeah.
The
but
way
it
that
was,
he did.
It was, I think Matt Martin hit Troy Stetcher at the end of that game, and it was basically like, you're going to hit Troy Stetcher, like this is how we're doing it? And you wonder if it'll be something similar when the Flames and Oilers play.
Well, the reality is, you know, for the longest time, both as players in the NHL or as a game in terms of anticipation, there are two ways to make your name. You either have immense skill and you score, you play make, or you stop everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're a player or a goalie.
Yeah.
Or you cause havoc all over the ice.
You fill a role. Like you fill... Some
you're a character because you piss off the opposition and it leads to mayhem. Wherever you go, it just follows you. And that's what it is. And it's still that way. Even though the game has changed and society's changed and no one's allowed to admit that it's fun. And hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to be like, oh, I don't want to see this tonight. Meanwhile, they're going home and they're watching Edmonton, Calgary when they play.
No, for sure.
I guarantee it.
Well, what would you do if you were with Calgary? Would you say anything to Matthew Tkachuk? Because basically you kind of want him to play like this. You want him on the edge. Do you say, like, this is too far? This is...
They won the game the other night on a double minor power play for him taking punches or however. I mean, for Zach Cassian attacking him.
So nothing?
No. If
all eyes are on the game, though. I think they'd be wise to say... You were this close from a headshot that could have cost you 10 games.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like, he was that close to getting them.
It was very close, and I would argue that if it wasn't Zach Cassian, if that was somebody else and they laid there from that hit, we'd have a different narrative. Like, that Zach Cassian's a pretty tough customer.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what you think of him. Like, he got up right away because I think he knew he got caught in the train tracks. He knew he got crushed. Even if he was hurt and he would have gotten up, where I think 90% of the league would have laid there because they were like, I just got ran over by a train.
I think you're probably right about that. We'll get into this more with Bob McKenzie in the next hour. Marcus Stroman is a guy who's been somewhat off the radar for us. He signed a deal. Mets took him to arbitration. I think it was a one-year, like $14 million deal, which I'm sure did not go over well with Marcus. Like, remember up here, he wanted a long-term deal.
Yeah.
The Jays never gave it to him. They always took him to arbitration, and then they end up flipping him.
Right.
And the Mets acquire him. And instead of just saying, you know what, let's get a deal done. We want you here long term. It's within the CBA. They're allowed to do it, but they took him to arbitration.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple of years ago, I remember this story because, you know, Stroman's antics on the mound, they're unique. They're different. He gets fired up. He does his shimmy shake and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I never had a problem with it in terms of what the other team thought of him. What do I care about how the Boston Red Sox feel about Marcus Stroman? The only thing that mattered was how the Blue Jays felt about him.
Correct.
And as long as they were cool with him and cool with him doing his thing, go ahead, go out there and compete and do your thing. A couple of years ago, I guess it was this past summer, Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, came out and said that Stroman, quote, competes in a certain way and people don't like it, end quote.
Right.
Stroman, quote, tweeted that. back in May of 2019 and said, I compete, that's it. Didn't know I had to cater to opposing teams to like me, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then after this news came out of Houston and the Boston cheating scandal, and we're all waiting for Alex Cora to get his, right. Strowman, in a remarkably petty fashion, which I appreciate, yet a complete lack of self-awareness, jumps on Twitter and goes back in time to the quote tweet in May and says, quote, this man had the audacity to say that I compete a certain way and people don't like it. Very comical in hindsight, LOL. There it is up on TSN4. Again, I understand why he was mad at the time. I get why he'd be cackling today. And I'm all good with him pointing out Alex Cora calling into question his compete level, his integrity or whatever, when we know that Cora was cheating
right.
the way he was in Houston in 17 and was bringing it to Boston in 18. This is where the self-awareness goes right over the head of Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, doesn't get... I mean,
Here, let me explain. Do you know who his manager is now in New York? Carlos Beltran, who was on the team in
2017,
Houston.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're calling out Cora because Cora took a shot at you.
Right.
But your guy now,
right.
the manager of your team, is also in the firing line. So it's one of those, Marcus, if I were him, I'd be like, I get why you're pissed at him calling you out in the past. It was a bogus thing to say for Cora, a manager to get involved in what the players are doing on the field.
Yeah.
But your new manager was on the Houston Astros banging garbage cans and dodging curveballs
right.
and cheating and winning a World Series, and now he's your manager in New York, and it's like you're going to put more of a spotlight on Beltran and your relationship. And
I've said this before. I don't like his antics. I'm not a fan. I think he's thin-skinned, and he just...
No.
Very thin-skinned.
He remembered this.
I know, but that's the thing. He banked it. Or he was like, oh, I remember that guy. He chirped me back in, you know.
But you know what? That's how he gets to this point. Like, there's no way he's Marcus Stroman without having that.
He's a chip on his shoulder
guy.
He's a chip on his shoulder guy. He's not alone. There's a lot of guys in pro sports that do it. Again, if Beltran was not his manager, I would be applauding him for this. I'd have no problem with him dancing on the soon-to-be grave of Alex Cora.
Right.
But your manager played on the team.
He's not thinking of that.
Of course
That's why
not.
You need, like, a Twitter fairy or a Twitter boss,
right?
Who's like, hey, buddy, don't tweet that.
That one's probably coming up at spring training. That one, you might, you know, hey, Marcus, what do you think? You're calling out Alex Cora. You think that he was, you know, obviously disrespecting the game. What about your boy who's calling you?
A reporter? You think a scribe will ask him
that? I think so. Absolutely. If you want to be outspoken about Cora, that's fine.
Right.
But then you got to be outspoken about Beltran.
Right.
Beltran's your manager now. Beltran was playing on Houston in 17. By all counts, based on the information and the whistleblowers, so to speak, Beltran was right in there.
Well, he wasn't playing much then. He was playing, and he was there.
He would have been aware.
It sounds like Carlos was giving it the old two-bang shuffle on the garbage can.
The two-bang shuffle.
When the video was coming in on an off-speed pitch.
What do you think Cora's going to get?
At least a year.
Yeah, same thing.
Because even though maybe the infraction in Boston is not as bad.
But he was on Houston.
No, I know, but he wasn't implicated in that. Like, they just issued the penalties, and he wasn't included in the Houston penalties.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying.
It should carry over.
Yeah.
It should, but I don't know if technically it will. I think it might be one of those, we didn't include it, but actually we did, and we're really going to hammer you now. It's like the OJ situation.
Or like impeachment right now.
Which is an extreme example. But remember, like, OJ, the second time...
He killed people, and then he got rinsed
for... He got, like, 10 years for...
He killed people, and he got rinsed for, like, stealing his memorabilia back at gunpoint.
It was like armed robbery and all that, and I'm not trying to downplay that, but it felt like that's like the system being like, you got us the first time. Second time, we're going to get you.
Right.
I think Alex Cora is bracing himself for a pretty significant penalty. And we'll see what Marcus Stroman has to say about it once it happens.
He'll tweet out about that.
He'll have something to say, I'm sure of it. Bob McKenzie, some trivia coming up. The Leafs back in action tonight. We tee that up throughout the afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, do not forget, only 2 weeks left to win a spot on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation courtesy of our friends at BookSeats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, four nights accommodations, and tickets to the games. To enter, follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and follow at BookSeats.com on Instagram. Both at TSN 1050 and at BookSeats.com on Instagram. And go to TSN1050.ca for all the details. BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. There you go. BookSeats.com.
Love it.
Do you?
Love it.
There you go. Worthy of a drop? Is that a, you never know? That kind of sounded like you were on the edge of a never know.
No, I wanted to say love it. Like, I love it.
Okay.
I'm glad that.
Review that tape for me, Mullen.
You got to use it.
Yes, you have to.
Use that website.
You got to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. All right, Bob McKenzie in studio in the next hour. Some trivia. Jonas, very excited. Are you going down to the game afterwards, Jonas?
I am. It's not. Actually, I'm kind of intrigued for this one. I don't know how you guys are feeling. Like, the matchup is not super sexy, but given everything that's going around, I'm curious to see the response. I'm curious to see Sandin. I'm curious to see Dermott playing more. There's just lots of Anderson. I'm curious to see how he responds.
Unfortunately, I'm not using this as a barometer. If they go out and win 7-1 tonight, all isn't great. You know what I mean? I'm using Thursday's game as a barometer of how Sandin will react and all of that, because Calgary's a team that is more on the same page as the Leafs, not where in a rebuild like New Jersey technically.
But this is one in the market.
Yeah, if you were saying off air.
If they lose tonight, the city is going to freak.
There'll be some judgment.
The fan base is going to freak because they played poorly against Edmonton. Horrendously against Florida. Didn't play that well against Winnipeg. Right. Now, Winnipeg didn't play great either. It was just kind of a game that happened. They still got a point out of that. But if you lose to one of the worst teams in the league after you perform the way you did on Sunday, I've been around here my whole life. I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know.
You lose to Calgary, a good team, and it's a close game. Okay, they're going to lose games. They got 36 games left to play. Right. They're going to lose a bunch of games.
No,
Boston's going to lose. Washington's going to lose. Tampa's going to lose. But considering the context of the moment against the team that you're playing against at home, anything outside of a 50-stop performance by your boy Louis Domingue is going to be catastrophic. Like, people are going to freak.
Well, they
I might be the ringleader, let's be honest. I'm talking about everyone else as if I'm going to be totally stable.
Yeah,
if they underperform tonight, it is go time at 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Do you think your overreaction meter needs to change a little bit?
Like, no, I think I need to rev it back
here's
up.
Here's the thing, though. I personally do. We had somebody right into the show saying, like, does Dubas need to trade one of the key pieces to shake things up?
No.
They just came off of a 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, they won like 11 of 12 and 15 of 20 or something.
So nobody even thought of that a week ago. They've had a rough week. They haven't played well. They need to respond. All of the things that you just said. But I would implore people to just, like, collectively, they've got three games to the break. Yeah, you got to get at least 4 out of 6 points. You have to. Against Chicago, New Jersey, and Calgary.
All winnable games at home.
Right.
All at home.
You got to find a way to get points and get it done. But, you know, then you've got some time off with the bye and the All-Star game. Like, you can reassess after the All-Star break.
The season is not over if they lose tonight.
Right. But
no, of course not. I'm not going to yell tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. that the season is over.
No, but you're going to be pissed, and they shouldn't lose
if they're
tonight.
Flat.
They
like, and that's what tonight. I'm saying. They shouldn't lose tonight. You can lose. That's why you play the game. New Jersey's going to show up and do what they're going to do.
Okay.
But if they're flat, then they'll deserve the criticism that they're
correct.
Going to get.
Correct.
And that's what I'm saying.
I just think that, you know, some perspective has to be here, because you've got, you know, it was a crappy week for everyone involved, really.
But I think what it shined a light on was that it's not like they were cruising around all year.
You're right.
Right. As much as they've dug themselves out, man, they were really dug deep before it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they ran off a 10-0-1 run, and then one bad week, and they're like a point into the playoffs.
But that's
how bad it was in October and November.
And to be honest and fair, that's how it's going to be
the rest of the year now.
The rest of the year. Atlantic is tough. Like, their division's the toughest in hockey.
Yeah, you're right. There's 35 games left.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what we're dealing with here. Overdrive continues. Final hour up next. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.